Check those house shoes on.
Yeah, I showed you that earlier today when you came in.
And then I hear you don't have to hook up the
It's not you sign a paper across your property.
No, we didn't sign, but yes, we did.
Okay, I guess we'll go ahead and get started here. I'm Chuck Pennell, for those that don't know me, and thanks for being here. I'd like to introduce Ted Martin. Ted is the division chief at the Branson Fire and Rescue, right?
Turn the hydrants on when told to.
Ted's got lots of experience, and when he saw the news report of concerns that y'all had about the blasting, he had sent me an email and offered to come over and just share his experience and what he knows. He sits on a board, a state board, that's just 2 years old, blasting and safety board. And so anyway, we all think very highly of you and appreciate you taking time. And we'll try to get him in and out of here. And if you've got questions that aren't really addressed in the blasting, we'll John Suti, our sewer board administrator, and I will stick around. We've got Sean from Great River Engineering who's on the job. We'll be glad to hang around as long as we need to and try to answer questions. And Susie with the sewer board is going to get some more signatures on her sign-up. Cheers. Yeah, you can either stand here or whatever you want to do, Ted.
Did you bring us midnight snacks?
No snacks.
It's not like OCAC.
No. Hey, I hate to be back here so far away from you. I know we've got a new program with the county being able to streamline and maybe catch some people on the internet. I do want to come out and try to maybe put some ease to the project that's going on down on Y Highway. I've been in Taney County for 25 years and have known Mr. Chuck for a lot of that time. And when I heard that story, it's like, you know, there's got to be some way to make the residents feel more at ease about this project and the use of explosives. Part of that is we use a lot of that in the Branson area with all the construction going on in the Branson and surrounding community of Western Taney County. And it's kind of new down on this project in a heavily populated area. And I want to share with you that I'm going to run through some notes here and let you ask some questions. There's a copy, Chuck, for you to have. And maybe answer some questions and hopefully put you more at ease if the project continues as is with the use of blasting materials on Y Highway. I've had the opportunity to serve with Branson for the past 14 years. Before that, I was a volunteer and worked for Taney County Ambulance for a lot of years and College of the Ozarks before that, back when I was School of the Ozarks, so this is kind of home now. And then the past 2 years served on the board at the pleasure of the governor for the Missouri Safety Blasting Act, which is run through the Division of Fire Safety. And we were able to promulgate brand new rules for the state of Missouri that makes it consistent across the entire state. Not do this in Branson and do this in Springfield and do this in Columbia, but we now have consistent rules and laws across the state of Missouri that the blasters have to be trained by, licensed by, record keeping, and within certain parameters of the use of explosives in our communities. So that blasting act came into play in 2007. Blasting obviously sends a lot of red flags because it's my home and your home and everybody else's home with structures and foundations and utilities. And one of the things I heard on the radio was the concern about fly rock and wells, as we use a lot of wells down in this part of the community. And I want to try to maybe give some solutions and answers to that that I would just propose to you as a suggestion or as consideration, not here to take sides or say do this or do that. I just wanted to put some more information out. And forgive me, I'm not a big note guy. Usually I can teach fire safety all day long without looking at notes, but I wanted to make sure I was very specific about a couple of things. Obviously, it's an economic factor. I overheard the conversation a few minutes ago prior to the meeting starting that yes, it is a factor. Do you go for the expensive route or do you go for the less expensive route? I don't want to say cheap, but blasting is going to be more economical than some of the other alternatives, such as a rock hammer. And I remember when the Branson Fire Station was built before I went to work for the city, they spent several months rock hammering because they could not blast in that location. and it's this for months compared to 10 days of blasting. So keep that in consideration as we talk here this evening. Note that blasting is highly regulated. It's not fly-by-night anymore. Now, are there companies out there that I would not like in my backyard? Absolutely, because I work with them all the time, and I know who they are. And I will share with you that since I'm outside of my jurisdiction, I'll share with you that you have a good company that has been chosen for this contract in on the Y Highway project, one that I trust very much. They're an international company. They're not in Missouri. They're not in Branson. They're not in just any county. They're international. The team members, as you look at this project, it's not just this blasting company, but the team members that, as I was looking at the identification of these folks, the board, the Regional Sewer Board, the Great River Engineering, here's some of our professionals right here that know what's happening with this sewer line. White seismology has been in the neighborhoods, I understand, door knocking. That is not the blasting company. White Seismology is a company out of Joplin, Missouri, and if you want to hear the expert of the expert, the guy that runs that, the president of that company, is the expert, and he's one I call all the time with questions when I have concerns in the jurisdiction that I serve in. And so they had been door knocking, offering to do pre-blast surveys on utilities, wells, and structures prior. The state law requires now that the pre-blast surveys be done within a geographical area of the blast site based on the amount of product to be used per delay of shot. Per delay is every 8 milliseconds. We'll talk about that more in a second. The pre-blast survey would only have to be maybe 100 feet if they followed state law. The commission and the sewer board and Great River Engineering took that to 350 feet, almost three times the distance required by state law as part of the contract. As a jurisdiction, I can't do that. I'm mandated to follow state law. But as a contract representative, the people that are working in your neighborhood, they took that a step further and expanded. DeLong Plumbing, I understand, is going to be in the region working with wells. Prior to shots, apparently they will, my understanding from the blasting company is they will send a camera down in the wells and watch those properties. Once the shot is complete, they will reshoot that with the camera to confirm no damage. Note that there's other people regulating this. It's not just walk in your community and start blasting. The ATF is involved, OSHA, Missouri Department of Transportation. You can't just bring these products in to the community on a pickup truck. And I've written citations in Branson for that happening in the past. It doesn't happen there anymore because they know we're out watching for that. And in the Mining Safety Health Administration, these blasters have to comply with tons of regulations all the time. I'm saying that, trying to say that the industry is relatively safe, and now we're going to work towards that, the safety of your structures here in a minute. They obviously have to develop a plan. When I spoke with a blaster preparing for this meeting, I said, talk to me about your blasting plan. They just don't walk in and start drilling and shooting. That comes back to the plan of what they want within this mapping system of the new lines. It comes back to the Great River Engineering that has done tons of work in our community for years to develop that plan, and they share with them what they need to accomplish. There's licensure requirements in the state of Missouri. You can't just say today that I want to go be a blaster. There has to be X amount of training and licensure at the state level to fire marshal's office before they can do any work at all, and that's countless hours of internships as a blaster. Insurance is required. Should something happen, that minimum insurance allowed by state law is $1 million with a max that can be required by the jurisdiction or the contract agent of being $5 million as required for the job site. Pre-blast surveys have been initiated. I kind of spoke about that earlier in the notes, that as this project progresses, that if it continues to go in a blasting format, that they required that to be 350 feet minimum. Also, one of the news stories that was carried a month or so ago stated, one lady stated she did not want these people in her home. That is allowed by state law not to be allowed in. I will share with you that my understanding is it's not Austin Powder Company doing the pre-blast surveys, but rather White Seismology, which is a professional company that is that they're the experts at doing pre-blast surveys, and they're based out of, again, Joplin, Missouri. Those folks I've worked with tons of times in doing pre-blast and also monitoring on sites of blasting properties. We can ask for third-party monitoring. Now, I don't know if the county has done that on this job, but we've done that in Branson where we have a certain geographical area in a neighborhood. We were able to do that. If you've seen Forsyth Hill, the new Forsyth Road, for example, in Branson that was just completed, tons and tons of production on that property adjacent to several hundred homes. And we did that virtually with zero complaints. We had one resident complaint, so I say virtually zero, one resident complaint that was resolved, and one fly rock issue, and that was resolved that day. So these guys are out to do the best they can do on their job sites because they're out to continue to get more work in our communities. Community notification. Nowhere in the state ordinance does it say door knock, and it drives me nuts because that's not good customer service. However, in speaking with the blasting company, apparently they have notified the neighbors that here's a tactic to be used along that area. And it, the state law does state that they have to do three attempts within a, what's called a scaled distance of 35. Now, scaled distance is a measurement used by the blasting industry designed to say that within a scaled distance of 35 or a scaled distance of 55, you have to do certain things. I'm going to kind of give an introduction to that in just a minute. However, I do not believe any properties are within the scale distance of 35. As our, the blaster gave me the numbers, and then I re-ran the numbers on the computer this afternoon. I don't believe there's any homes within that scale distance. So they've gone above and beyond what the state law reads to do the door knocking and to do the pre-blast surveys as required by the contract. It's also a signage plan. The residents need to know when blasting is going to happen. And I'm going to talk about that plan a little bit more also in the bigger picture. In speaking with the blasting company on this particular line that's in question, what's that called, line K? Is that correct? The estimated timeline is 10 working days plus or minus due to weather. Obviously, today's not a good day to be blasting when you're working with the agents and trying to get your drill rig in. I started to make a drawing up there, and we got the meeting started, but one thing I wanted to maybe make this a little bit easier on our hearts as residents is note that we're doing trench shots. The trench will be 3 feet wide with an estimated distance of, was it 1,500 feet or so, somewhere in there. And so what's going to happen is the blaster will come in and drill an estimated, his goal was 275 feet of production per day, and do that in 1 to 3 shots. I say, why did I know the answer before I ask it, so I'm questioning the guy. Why 1 to 3 shots? Because I know what he wants to do is one shot, because it's easy. I drill all day long, and at 4:30, I set my shot, shoot it, and I'm done. The more customer-friendly way for the neighborhood is to do 3 shots. And I said, well, that sure sounds like a reasonable solution to me, is to do 3 shots because I can make them smaller, right? And so we're talking about a 3-foot-wide trench, not mass. If you look at Tanger Outlet Mall, Forsyth Hill, just giving examples from my community, Branson Hills Projects, the Branson Airport out in the county, they're doing massive shots of mass if you're talking a geographical landscaped area. And so what I'm driving there is that the shots are going to be very minimal. The next thing that makes a shot minimal when you're doing the economic way of using blasting agents is this. When you're talking about 3 feet wide trench lines, and if he said he wanted to go 275 feet, that shot doesn't happen, boom, it's done. And so what happens is the blasting is required to do a certain delay, and it's called typically an 8-millisecond delay. What I started to draw up there was circles and dots, and what it's going to be is that 3-foot-wide trench, two bore holes, and offset back and forth. You're trying to take your energy and split that off. If he shot 275 feet, it's not going to be an effective shot. It's not going to work, number one. And number two, potentially cause a lot more vibration. So by doing a what's called an 8-millisecond delay, which is a blasting tactic is commonly used, it's going to be one shot, 8 millisecond delay, next shot, 8 millisecond delay, next shot, and you do that back and forth on those two shots per row. What that does is it virtually takes your vibration to virtually nothing. Are you going to sit in your recliner with a glass of iced tea watching Oprah Winfrey and feel it? Yes. Just like a lightning bolt strikes a tree behind your house, and the thunderclap vibrates your house and scares the living daylights out of you. That's the vibration you're going to feel at the most. Does a thunderclap destroy your house, your foundation, your well? No. But it does scare you, and it does cause concern. And the first thing that we see residents do is they go outside and they look. Look at this crack. And they call me when we're in Branson. Look at this crack in my foundation. Great. It's been there for 15 years. No, that's not true, and I'm being sarcastic here a little bit. Well, it's full of dirt and dust and bugs and everything else, so yes, it's been there for a while, and if you look at my foundation of my home, you're going to see the same thing. And so not trying to skate the fact about vibration, you are going to feel vibration, and I use that silly example of thunderclap because you're going to get that rumble. So here's what can be done. You know that the vibration is minimized because we've done the 8 millisecond delay back and forth, but also notice you can be notified, and the contract manager can require that as of the blaster, and I would encourage him to do that. And I talked to the blaster today and said, guess what, I'm gonna encourage it, so it's coming. And that is, I want a phone call. There's probably a lot of retired folks down here, there's a lot of multiple property owners down here. I want a phone call that says I'm shooting at 2 o'clock, or I'm shooting plus or minus 3 o'clock. Because when you know it, it's a lot better. And that sounds silly, but I guarantee you that when people get called, our complaint calls go to zero on jobs in our community. There will be 5 to 7 pounds of product called Hydromite and Anfo used per hole. So that's a very minimal amount of product with the 8 millisecond delay per hole delay on that. Blasting mats will be used. Again, can't require it by state law. Contract manager can, but the blaster has also stated that they'll use blasting mats within any structure of 100 feet from that property, and I think that's very responsible of them to do. That's a big batch of huge amounts of tires banded together to minimize fly rock should anything come out of the ground. Typically in quotes, nothing should ever come out of the ground except for the lift of a foot or two off the earth. But when you see a fly rock go, and I've seen this in town, 100 feet or 200 feet or 600 feet, the hole wasn't loaded right. And then the blasters, you know, they bang their heads on the wall and they say, I can't believe that happened. And there's reasons for that. I don't need to give a whole history on that, but that's a part of the loading of that hole that caused that to mushroom out and cause that piece of rock to come from the top of the hole, for example. Seismographs will be required to be used. Looking at the state law based on this program, the blaster will be required to use seismographs on the nearest structures between the shot and the nearest structure for any residents within the scale distance of 5.5. That will put you within the 100 feet mark, minimum.
What was this you were describing that they would have to use?
A seismograph. The seismograph is an instrument that they bury a monitor in the ground between the blast shot and the nearest occupied structure, and that measures earth vibration, and it also measures air blast, because that's probably what most people feel. And I was sharing with Mr. Suti today that one of the most common things is not necessarily the earth vibration you'll feel, but you'll feel the air blast. And we've seen that on some jobs in Branson, that on a day like today, if it wasn't raining, just say it's cloud covered, a lot of times that air blast will stay down lower because of the cloud cover, which seems so silly, but it's true. And once the clouds go away, sunshiny day, you'll have air blast, but it's not as substantial as before. So the seismographs will be required. They will have a minimum of 2 out on every shot done. And again, I made the suggestion, it's not my jurisdiction, and I'm not the contract manager, but I said, you know, it sure would make the residents feel a whole lot better. It would make me feel better if it's in my backyard on this kind of a job site to shoot 2 or 3 times per day rather than 1 time per day. And then again, I put on my notes that phone calling is available. As I look at this line, the properties that border, there's no reason in the world why you cannot give a contact number and have the blaster give you a call and say, I just want to give you a heads up. This will happen at X amount of time period, so you know it's coming. The real concern, ground vibration. Let me read a couple of comments. I'm kind of popping this off, and sorry I don't have this memorized and being able to speak right up to you, but ground vibration is controlled, and it is controllable. When I was in paramedic school at Cox South years ago, I watched them blast right next to the building. I'm on the fifth floor. I was in a trauma unit looking straight down blast mats, vibrations being done right next to a healthcare facility. So there's got to be ways to do it. To the extreme of the Branson Airport, I watched them shoot 110,000 pounds of product one night, one shot, 18,000 feet of shock cord, shock tube. And so there's everything from the extreme of the small shots to large shots. And all that energy should be controllable. And that energy is distributed to the rock based on using the 8-millisecond delays per shot. If he took a face wall looking at Forsyth Hill on the side of the Grand Country property, they were able to take several more shots per delay, 8 to 10 to 12 shots per delay, because the energy was laying off onto the bluff. Okay, so they'd already knocked some of the rock off to the flat spot. So when you have a shear wall, you can get more shots per delay and not have that vibration because the energy is going out. When we're talking about a trench shot that's in the ground like that and it has nowhere to go, that's why you have to be very careful in the science background of this to take it to the 8-second shot or 8-millisecond delay per hole, for example. They're detonated in a progressive sequence, so you're gonna feel probably 2 or 3 seconds, but remember we're talking one shot per 8-millisecond delay on that. By knowing the distance to the closest structures, they take a formula to know how many shots can I do in a given shot based on that nearest structure. That's all set by state law, all by the training they've had, by the mining industry that's required to do that in. And so you want to make sure that all this is happening. And the blasting plan, I think, is approved by Great River, is it not? So that's all been established. The blaster has to follow that, for example. And the last, the comment is the current legal and recommended vibration limits have resulted by tons of research. These guys aren't making this up when they come into our community based on what they need to shoot here. And then know that the scale distance is a required factor as set by state law. Scale distance is this. It's a distance in feet divided by the square root of the charge weight. So we're hitting 6 to 7 pounds per hole. We're not doing that by the holes of the entire shot. You do it by the actual shot to that millisecond time period. So I ran the numbers on that this afternoon, and if I used a 100-foot distance from a structure, and the blaster told me they're going to run 6 to 8 pounds of product per hole, at 8 pounds, it's a scale distance of 35, well within the limit. You bump up to 7 pounds down to 7 pounds per hole is 37, so it's even farther away. And 6 pounds is even less yet at 40, is a scale distance of 41. So they're well within the limits of what's required by this type of program to do this. Note that I want to just kind of put out as much as we've seen in the field that if you're seeing foundation problems in blasting, I would hope that you're reporting glass breakage, things falling off the walls, and sheetrock damage before you have an issue with foundations. If you're having foundation problems, we've got a massive problem, and I've seen that in my hometown of Raymore, Missouri, when a truck loaded with twice the legal limits of explosives showed up and blasted 3 homes off their foundation. That was 28, 29 years ago. So regulations have obviously improved, and what's happening here, DOT will not mess around with these guys. The one time I caught a guy transporting in town, I wrote him a ticket, and DOT nailed him. Okay, that's where our local jurisdictions come into play with the local fire department, the state fire marshal's office, what have you. If this proceeds as planned, and you know that the blasting plan is established, and we're running across this remote section behind some homes, I say remote because there's open land behind it, but it's adjacent to your homes here. Note that you've got some opportunities. One is a pre-blast survey, and I hope that if you're in that scale distance or that 350 feet that you did that. The White Seismology is very efficient and effective of what they do. When we had the Forsyth Hill project, Dr. Pat Rose, who's a retired baby cardiologist, as I recall, has a water slide there. We had pre-blasted her home and had some vibration when the job first started, and again, had the little sheetrock cracks, typically off the corner of doors is the first place you see it. Came back to the pre-blast survey. Those were not there. The blasting company is responsible for taking care of that, and they did so. So you've got some measures there to protect you by the planning, by the Missouri Division of Fire Safety. If you cannot, the blasting company should have had a letter out with their numbers on it. If Daryl Scraba does not respond to you appropriately, you can make a complaint to the Missouri Division of Fire Safety. A state fire marshal will be assigned to it, typically within 24 hours, and they will come down and they will pull every record for that company for that job site. Guess what? They have to keep tons and tons of records. And they're subject to my screening at any time or a state fire marshal screening if it's outside of our jurisdiction. How many pounds are we shooting per delay, the depth of the holes, the scale distance factor, and the fire marshal will either stop it excuse me, or make corrective actions with that blasting company. And then definitely keep in touch with Mr. Suti and, if necessary, Mr. Pennell as far as communications here. So that's my few minutes worth of time. I just wanted to ramble for a minute and know that we've had this experience in our community, and hopefully we can ease it if it continues like it is here. That I have full confidence in, I'll just say that because I'm outside of my jurisdiction, that I've got pretty good confidence in this company that's doing this job, and I think they'll take care of you.
Pat.
I have another question. You talked about those holes and about the 6 to 7 pounds per hole. Are you saying then there would be six holes that would be filled?
No, there would be upwards of...
Because you said there was two and then a relay,
right,
or something. How many holes are you talking would be filled per blast?
Trying to think if I wrote that down. He was saying, I did not write the number of holes down, but the trench is 3 feet wide. 2 feet or two holes per row, so probably another 3 feet times 275 feet max. But again, when we came back to the blaster and said, you know, you've got concerns with the neighbors, why one shot? And, well, we can go up to three shots. And he said, I'd actually kind of prefer that. It's just more of a time-consuming factor to them. So you may see, I have to sit here and do the math, but again, remember that if you have, say, 100 holes in the ground, it's one hole, 8-millisecond delay, another hole fires, 8-millisecond delay, then the next hole. And that's designed specifically to reduce vibration.
Well, but what I'm trying to say, at the time they set this blast off, you don't know ahead of time as to how many holes will be filled?
The blaster will have to document that. The driller has to document how many holes he drilled. The blaster has to document that for this particular shot, I'm going to project to do 80, 100, or 120 holes, whatever he's going to come up with. It all has to be on record. So then when the blast shot is over, if we have to do an investigation or something comes back for a question, then I can look back and say, on this shot at this time by this blaster, I have to have the actual blaster guy's name, the registered blaster, they shot 80 holes at this time, and my vibration limits were this based on the seismograph set up adjacent to that blast site. So the holes may vary based on weather conditions and how much production they get done that day with drilling and all that.
Well, there's a lot of ledge rock down there in Highway Y, and how will this sound travel through that ledge rock?
I don't have a real good answer on that. That question has come up before, and the concern of how does it travel. And again, remember that the example that was given to me through White Seismology was take your pebble and throw it out in the middle of the pond. And the first ring you get is pretty big, and the next ring is a little bit smaller, and the next ring is a little bit smaller. That's exactly what vibration is doing. So if you're 700 feet from the blast site, it's not going to get bigger as it travels. Sound waves and vibration does not do that. The vibration will get minimized for every so many feet from that blast site. Go ahead.
How many feet from the blast site to a building?
Well, that goes back to that scale distance. If he wanted to shoot, say, a 20-foot deep hole and have 30 pounds of product in there, that distance completely changes from a trench that's 3 feet wide and drilling 3 or 4 feet deep and six to seven pounds of product. So we have to know that up front. That's part of that blasting plan to get that scale distance, and that's why the scale distance is much more less than what that 350 feet is based on a blasting plan. It would be closer to 100 feet, which would virtually do nobody, if I looked at this map correctly. So they've gone above and beyond to say 350 feet.
Well, I got a garage within 25 feet of that.
Of this one? Are they going to blast all the way up there, do you know? They'll get to a point.
Over at Orchard.
Yeah, they'll get to the point where they'll have to stop, and that's when you're going to start getting the rock hammers out and hearing pecking for a given time period.
How far, Sean, is that manhole in the corner of the garage? I'd say probably 30 feet. Yeah. 30 to 50 feet. Mm-hmm.
You can blast right next to his structure with a certain amount of pounds. Yeah. Sure. That's all part of that math equation called scale distance and what they can shoot per hole per delay. Now, are they going to blast right next to your garage? I don't think so. 10 to 20 feet, it seems small, but that may be doable. And again, I don't know that. I don't know the job that well. I'm just trying to cover some other basics.
There, and we can go over that after Ted slips off to his other meeting, and John and Sean can show you on the map where they blasted. But yes, there's definitely been some blasting, and especially in another area. I don't know about the line K, is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, line G.
But I'm meaning line K. Have we done?
They have blasted. Yes.
Yeah.
They have blasted that one section of line is complete, and they're laying sirloin.
Yeah, let us get Ted's questions and then we'll come back.
When you set up these charges, I assume they go in all directions. They're not shaped anyway, are they? They go this way, they go up, they go down.
The design will be to split that rock, so it should not go up at all. If it goes up, there's a problem. Because what happens is they drill the hole to the given depth that's designed by the blasting plan. You load your product in. And then you put what's called stimming, which is clean gravel, small, clean, pea-sized gravel. And they have to put X amount of stimming in that hole to make it operate properly. It's part of a math equation based on each and every job is a little bit different. If you don't stim it, what happens? It goes straight up like this, okay, straight up. So if you stim it and put product back in based on what you've drilled out, you've now made a firecracker, is a simple way to put it, because you're trying to get that energy to come out like this. In a horizontal level. And so then you take that 8-millisecond delay, and I'm going to energize this hole, and I'm going to energize this hole, and that's why it allows it to break in succession. If I break these two holes, skip 20 holes, and break two more, I'm not getting an efficient break. I need to break the first two, break the next two holes in the line. I'm doing one hole at a time. But that's how it breaks it off in succession. Otherwise, they're going to have a mess.
Already been shaking pretty good, and we're on the west side of Y, across the street from Pat, actually, and it came in those little successions like mm-hmm. this. It was kind of like a rolling earthquake, and it rattled us pretty well. I mean, we're talking about pots and pans and whatever. I immediately went out and looked around the foundation. Everything was good, but my big concern is about that well. Now, mm-hmm. You know, it's cased 80 feet, and down below that is just the local topography, which is brittle. And, you know, if somebody screws up my well, I'm
yeah. That's where the camera is supposed to be operating on this particular job, and I don't know the depths or the details of that. We just told that DeLong Plumbing would be the responsible contractor or subcontractor to come in and do that.
I've been in my name's Don Earhart. I've been in the mining industry for several years, and the mining industry is notorious for running over people.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally know that the mining companies have gone out and blow up not very far from people's wells. Their wells would go dry. Maybe not right then, but maybe a couple of months down the road, they'd go dry. And they'd go back to the mining company and say, "You made my well go dry." And the mining company would say, "Prove it." There's no proof. Even with the cameras down there, you can't really prove that. You know, especially if it goes dry 2 months from now. And also in concrete, on foundations, you can have it blow up close to your foundation or away from your foundation, and it may not crack it right then. It may put little bitty cracks in it, you know. And then they start to really, 2 or 3 years from now, your whole foundation falls apart. And you say, "Huh, what happened? Must have been those blasters that did it." And then the blaster would say, "Well, we got pictures here. It didn't hurt your concrete." I mean, if you go to the websites, I mean, it's not just me talking here. You go to the websites and look up blasting incidents, and you'll see page after page after page after page of people that's had problems with blasters. Then you go over to people that's got jackhammers, and you see how many problems is there. Almost none. So this blasting is a bad thing for a condensed neighborhood like we've got, especially when you're blasting in the lower part of the valleys, and we got our wells that are about, you know, 100 feet from there, 50 feet from there. And what do we do with our wells? This whole community is run on wells down there. And I know how it is. How many people in here have got lawyers on retainer? Well, you know, it's going to cost you about $10,000 to go to court with these yahoos. Now, who's got $10,000 to do this with? Raise
got
your hand.
$10,000 to build a new well.
There you
I've
go.
I've been in the ground for 45 years.
Okay.
And if, you know, then are they going to come back and say, "All right, the well's been in the ground for 45 years. It's already had some issues. It's got issues, but that well could last for another 45 years. If it wouldn't last.
I'm
saying last, then it can."
Ted, they go to the trouble of, you say you can't tell, Don.
You can't.
Why do they take pictures? I mean, it seems that there must be some reason.
Excuse me. If it's a big crack, yes, it can tell. But
Don's, I didn't interrupt you. Would you please not interrupt me? There's reasons that they take those pictures. I mean, they don't pay to do that if there's not some positive reason for doing that. So when you say that it doesn't make a difference, that doesn't add up to me. There's got to be some benefit, or they wouldn't be taking those pictures.
You know, Chuck, I'm just going back to my knowledge of this. And you know, we used to be nice and go out and take pictures of stuff for people too. And you know what? If they would come up with this thing saying, "You cracked our concrete down here," you know what we'd say? "We lost the pictures." That's a bad thing to do. I was with a pretty rough organization.
Have you got any more questions that would apply to Ted? If not, I'm going to let him go, and we can talk about this some more.
Fine.
Good.
I don't have a great answer for your comment, because that came from the heart, and it's right where you want it to be. I would definitely communicate with White Seismology, the ones that are doing the pre-blast surveys, because they'll have that answer. That's a great technical question that I don't have an answer for. But the White guys, I definitely ask them.
That's the company that does the,
yes, sir.
Does the wells?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, the pre-blast surveys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, Ted?
How many of these wells will have a camera in them when the blast goes off?
We can talk with Sean here and answer that question. I'm going to run Ted off. He's would like to be in Branson in 15 minutes.
I can do it.
Work, but
thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you for your preparation. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
You bet. Don, back to your deal. From Ted's comments, we can contact White and see if they can explain what protection, taking a picture of the wells. Wells is probably one of the bigger things that people are concerned about, and see if they can give us a good answer, like I certainly can't, Ted didn't, but we can ask that question.
I just wish they would all reconsider this blasting thing.
Well, to that point, the next sewer board meeting, I think I shared this with you, is Tuesday, and there'll be an update on Ozark Beach, and I know they've given us the figure of $188,000.
Yeah, right at $189,000.
To do that line K, which starts at your house, Don, and goes up to Orchard, somewhere in that area. They even looked at just going around your house. It was about $70,000 to take the blasting out of that section. And as you and I have shared one-on-one, that's sewer board's decision, and they can talk about that, and you can express your feelings, and maybe we can have some more information as far as the well part of it and go from there. Pat, you had a question?
Yes. We talked about the pictures, and I let them at my house to take these pictures. Out in my garage floor, I do have a small crack.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of those houses in that area, when they were built, they went to work and they put gravel in the back there to fill it up when they ran the pads for your garage.
Right.
Well, okay, how can I prove that that crack is bigger now than what it was?
Well,
sure, the picture will show there was a crack, and I agree there's a crack. But the other day when they shut off that last blast when I was home, I was just walking in the garage, and it shook my garage door.
Okay. The only, and I'm not knowledgeable on this, just guessing here, but the picture is what we've got, and whether they can take a second picture of from the same place and measure that to see, we can certainly look into it.
I'm just wondering about it because there was a crack, yes, but if it gets bigger.
Well, if any of you have any concerns about those type of things, you know, Sean Berry, Brad, the gentleman with the engineering firm, they don't hesitate to come to your home and look at that with you. And one thing about that is that they can document those things. So it's not just you with the contractor, it's you and our engineer, and they have that documented, and they save that documentation. They're very meticulous on the documentation and paperwork. And anytime you want us to come out and do that or look at anything, document those things, don't hesitate to give us a call. We're out there every day with somebody, it seems like. So, and that's what it's all about.
I appreciate what Ted said, the lady there across from Walmart on Forsyth. She had some damage. I mean, the pictures, they went to those corners where there's cracks in the drywall and they weren't there. Afterwards, they found them and they were responsible. And he's not saying, I'm not saying that something can't happen. I mean, there's damage that can be done. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Other questions? John?
Well, I'm just going to say that if any of you are concerned about your well, we do the water testing at the sewer district, and I talked to the sewer board and Chuck that we'd be glad to sample your water so you can have a benchmark or something about your water quality or other issues with that water and the testing, we for free of charge for any of you that would want to get a bottle and bring a sample up.
I had sand coming out of the night this morning. Because they broke the line yesterday.
Yeah.
And they fixed it. And I didn't notice it. Then this morning I went to use the water and I didn't have any water again. So I don't know if there was another break. or what.
Probably
but then
was.
When the water came back down, it was just full of sand.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to Sean about trying to make sure that they flush the lines out. And I talked to this one lady we've been emailing this morning. I'm sorry, Don, let me jump in here. And they've had trouble with the hot water heater and different things like that. And Sean met with her. That was the lady that Sean went down and met with today. And I asked her to keep cost of any plumbing bills or anything that they've incurred, or she or her husband have incurred in doing that. And we'll go back to the contractors and fight to try to get that reimbursed back to her.
That's good to know.
Yeah, well, that's, we're here for you.
Don?
So we understand if there's anything that goes wrong and we report it like this and you come out and look at it, that you're a lawyer, will fight for us. Is that what you're saying?
We haven't been there, Don, so.
No. And
we would.
I'm just asking.
I was going to say historically on our past projects, and we've had some that the contractors blasted, like Coon Creek Project and Heritage Estates, through the Kirbyville area there, and we've had some that they've trenched everything. But in any case, if we have an issue like that, we're going to come to the homeowner. If they call us and there's a problem, we're going to come out and we're going to be there with you to try to get it resolved.
I'm just thinking of one incident.
I can't say that our legal counsel is going to be there with you, but we will be, and wherever that goes, to the sewer district board and meetings to try to get the property owner taken care of. That's, I only know one property owner out there that we wasn't able to resolve an issue with, and it was really minor compared to what we're talking about here today out of all the people that we've dealt with since 95. So we've got a pretty good record there. So. But any photographs that you have concerns about or anything that you have concerns about to document those concerns helps us greatly to help you, you know.
John, is it, that reminds me of, is it too late? Because there was questions, one lady that talked about photographs inside her house and she didn't have them do that. Is it too late to get photographs if there's been folks that said no?
Well,
depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
50% of the license completed.
No, right, but I mean along this line.
On the one line it is.
On the one line.
That line
had
to start.
John can show you.
I don't know if everybody's
it's,
got a map or not. But
yeah, we've got some extra maps here.
Isn't there a graph that you can put if there's any existing cracks, a graph that you can epoxy over that crack and then take a picture? I know they do it like for caves and stuff.
There probably could be. I mean, you could take a ruler.
Two rulers and put a line on it and epoxy both of them. And if it slides, then...
Yeah, I mean, if you want us to come out and take a picture of the crack, measure the crack, find out exactly how big it is, say it's 16 inches.
Well, I'm just trying to
hope
for...
Well, if the blasting's done,
well... Well, I don't know if it's done here or not.
Huh?
I don't know if it's done.
I don't think so.
This area here, right here, this is going up through this wooded area, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is done here. This is complete.
All the way on up?
All the way up.
Here.
That's done. They're laying sewer line at this trench now. Now, the one that we're talking about now that hasn't started yet is the one down here at Don's house that goes up here through the Peterson property and then terminates up here close to these modular homes up there. There's a little home structure. But this here, I'm sorry,
I got you.
This one here is done.
Well, see, I'm up there at the end of that green line.
Here.
I'm up in there, and there's going to be a manhole apparently in my backyard. Isn't that what the green indicates?
Yeah, the green dots would indicate a manhole.
Yeah, okay. Then there's going to be one in my backyard.
Right. This line that's left to be blasted stopped right between. Knudsen. She lives.
1391.
She lives here.
Yeah.
Right down here, Pat, is where. Line for the blasting is going to stop, right?
Mm-hmm. And Chuck is asked to be invited to one of the blast out
there. Yeah.
One, so he can really
like
kind of what we
down
to
Don's place, especially if the Supreme Board decides to go through.
Well, I have another question. question to ask, and it has nothing to do with blasting. But when they decided where they were going to put the sewer line, was it your company that decided where it was going to go?
Yes.
Okay. With us having our home wells and the water lines and stuff, why did they not go behind the water lines?
But on the back side of the water
yeah.
line? It would have been off of your property limits. On some people's, there's a whole string of people there, and that water line kind of fishes around. And there wasn't any person that knew exactly where that water line was. I spoke with the person who's in charge of the well, which is Gene Denise. I actually drew an AutoCAD version of the map that he has, so we have a copy of it. But it goes up so far, and then it ends. And then from there on, it's kind of like anybody's guess where that water line is. So we put together where we thought it was, to the best of our knowledge, and we situated that sewer line.
Well, to me, it would have been a lot simpler for all the property owners and stuff that if you would have gone down behind that. But why couldn't you put it on that other property?
There's two issues. One, DNR teaches we have to have a certain separation between water and sewer lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the other issue is there's a power line that goes through there. So there's already a utility. There's two utilities that go through there. And if we would have gone farther than that, then we would have most likely been off of your property. You've got to be within 10 feet of your property, so your service ladder would make a statement.
That rule I don't understand, but I'm just a woman.
No, don't worry. There's government regulations higher than us that we have to adhere to, and sometimes we don't understand.
Well, but to me, it would have been so much simpler. They wouldn't have tore up everybody's yard and everything in the back. You know, if they'd gone down in behind there, there was nothing but the woods there.
Well, we've got a 20-foot permanent easement. What we try to do is that we like to have at least 10 foot of that permanent easement that touches each property owner's property, so their service line would be on their property, having access to it without having to get an easement from another property owner, just to have your private service run across the property. That's why we try to get those within that 10-foot area that Sean's speaking of. Sometimes that can be an issue.
For the power line utility.
Well, that too.
There could be the other property owner be saying, hey, since your sewer line's running on my property, you owe me money.
There's issues.
I mean,
yeah.
Could come back.
You're right. That has happened.
So in other words, this lot here can't run his sewer over on my property.
Not unless you have an easement or we've obtained an easement to have that private service run across the property to your property.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a problem.
Okay.
Don't worry, the county is good at taking property. Very good.
So next year, if I find a crack in my house that wasn't there now, do I still have the time I can come back and say, okay?
There's a maintenance bond warranty period of 1 year after the project's been certified by the engineers. If you do, call us and we'll respond and try to work with you to get it resolved. Yeah. Heritage Estates, do y'all know where Heritage Estates is? Over by Holiday Hills Golf Course, where all those homes are kind of right through there just before you get to TC. We blasted through there. And I'm not a blasting expert or anything, but I can just talk about historical experience that we've had. And we had one issue there that was related to a sheetrock issue where the nails, I guess the vibration had the nails had worked themselves out of the sheetrock, and we repaired that, worked with the contractor.
We had at least four basements over there that were messed up. I talked to the owners myself.
Four basements?
Yeah.
Right
beside the highway.
I never heard about that. I know the one there by the stream there.
Maybe they didn't have enough money to go to court. I don't know.
I like their names, Don. After the meeting,
I don't have their names with me, but I can point them out to you.
Show me the property.
Yeah. Because I know anybody that called, they stand out. That's why that one definitely stands out as Dr. Can't remember her name now, but that was a sheetrock issue.
Well, I was concerned about the ledge rock because I'm not that far from uptown. And when they were doing some blasting, when they were laying the new water line, I had a little tiny crack in the basement, didn't think anything of it. Well, we had to bathe water there probably about, 4 years ago, 5 years ago in the spring. I got water in my basement. Well, after that, it's too, it come through that crack.
Yeah.
But the crack wasn't there when I bought the house.
Okay. Well, we'd be glad to come out and document anything that you want us to document.
But I got it at that time, I mean, so I figured, well, it's just my tough luck. I'm the one that's got to fix it. And
well, we'll try to help anybody that we can help, that's for sure. I'd definitely kind of proud of that on how the sewer board's acted and the county commission and the people that we have out there as far as responding to folks. And I know other than the blasting, it's a muddy mess out there in a lot of areas too. And we're in contact with the contractor every day on trying to get Sean to attest to that and trying to get the roads, keep the roads decent and all those things. But, you know, most of the time when somebody calls, you know, we have somebody over there probably 30 minutes or so, you know.
Who was responsible for when they came through early in the spring taking down those trees?
Well, the contractor would be responsible to do that within the easements that's given to him to work within. We're the owner of the project, so if there was an issue, we would be obligated to have to look into that issue through the engineers to find out what the issue is and resolve that. But if
well, good luck, because I have talked and talked, and nothing happened.
What was the concern
there? Well, they came in and they took down three great big trees. Mm-hmm. There they lay. The tree, the great big roots and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, then there was this great big hole. Then there was another smaller hole. And I said, I don't want to sit here in my deck and look at that all summer. And they said, well, you're going to have to for a year and a half. And I said, no, I'm not. So finally, they got somebody and a logger. He took the trunks, but left all the small brush.
Yeah.
So then I complained again. Well, they said they'd get a chipper in there. Well, me, just being a woman, when they said a chipper, I thought it was one of them that they hand feed into to get rid of them. Uh-uh, they come in with this great big roller, and those things flew. I couldn't mow back there. I complained again. The hole, the biggest hole, has had water in it ever since they took the tree out, the biggest one.
Mm-hmm. Is it still like that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, until the other day when they got into it with their big cats and got stuck.
Okay.
As I said, welcome to the swamp in my backyard. There's water standing in there like crazy.
Well, we need to look at that.
Have you talked to any of our representatives that are on the site, or have you talked to the contractor?
Well, I went down there to and talked at one time, and they was going to send somebody up to pick up all those big limbs and stuff so that I could mow. Mm-hmm. And they was going to fill the hole. That was the end of it.
I sure didn't know nothing about it, but we can look into that.
Generally, if you'll get a hold of somebody from our office, or the county has two inspectors.
Where's your office at?
Well, you got cards, though, don't you, Sean? You can always call our office, and I got cards. I'll be glad to give you one.
We've had a lot better luck getting the contractors to come to us than the individual homeowner. So.
See, I can't use insect repellent. I'm allergic to that.
Well, we need to get that straightened out.
It was nothing but standing water there. All year round. One was a lot bigger than the other.
Okay.
They finally come and they took the biggest ruts, but yet there was still some smaller.
There was, we had several property owners down and had similar situations through the summer with the brush and the different things, and we was with the contractor trying to get them to get that taken care of.
When is this supposed to be completed, that we would be hooked into the...
We're looking at June, May or June.
Again.
Yes. Barring any unforeseen weather events and the extenuating change orders, but that's what we're looking at.
That's a tentative date.
Yes. What will happen is once the engineers certify the system's ready to place into operation, there will be a letter to go out to the property owners. At that time, you'll have 180 days or 6 months to get a permit, make the connection, so on and so forth. There's quite a bit of time yet. before actual connections go.
Are they going to wait till this project is finished before they come out and fix roads and driveways and yards? We're having this in driveways.
Anybody that right now is having a problem with your driveway or the roads getting in or out, let us know, and we'll stay on them and get that addressed.
Down on Cope Lane, some of those people can't even get to their
That's
houses.
Been a big problem, Mary. We've been in discussion with the contractor on almost on a daily basis. Just to
we
get
have
down
dips in ours, and our neighbor has quite a dip in hers, and she has just had hers fixed.
Doesn't seem like anything takes place. Doesn't seem like anything gets fixed.
Well, it does, but not to the satisfaction we'd like most of the time, and that's why we're constantly on a daily basis with the contractor. There's some other options being looked at to get things taken care of out there.
Disgusting.
What
roads? You mentioned Cope, and you're on Orchard?
Yeah.
Willie Oaks. Okay. Willie Oaks, I realized,
my log is littered up with McDonald bags, trash bags. The guys sit out there in my log and give lunch. They throw their trash out there. I mean, come on. You don't respect my property? Do I go out there and throw rocks through the cabs of their tractors when they set them there overnight? No. Respect me. I'll respect you back. Doesn't happen.
Well, let us know if those things are going on and we'll
talk.
Just take a drive down through there. Oh, I mean, you don't have to ask for it. Just take a drive down through there. You can see it. About every driveway sunk in like
nothing
crazy.
Nothing happens. I make phone calls. Nothing happens.
I made personal appearances and nothing seems to have settled on it. Well, I know across the street where I take my dog up to the scenic view, when they were first working there and they were putting some lines in and they had some stuff, every time that they took a connection out of a paper wrapper, it just laid there and blew around. They weren't concerned about, like you said, they don't care.
Our property is our property, and it should be respected. It has never been since this job has started. They don't care about our property. But I don't go out there and throw rocks at their equipment. Maybe we should. But two wrongs don't make a right, so...
Yeah.
I respect their property, respect me. It doesn't happen. It hasn't happened.
Yeah, it sounds like we need to look at other ways to get their attention. There's things that we'd like to do that we're bound to by contractual agreements, but there are some other options that we're looking at, because it's like we deal with that every day, too. Tell them to fix this, fix that. We're paying them a ton of money to build this system for us. And it gets very frustrating when you as a property owner calling us. We're trying to get production out of them to get these things taken care of. And we're having issues, too. And we shouldn't have those issues with what we're paying these guys. So
we can, to my knowledge, none of the commissioners have been involved. And sometimes a county commissioner showing up with the job site or to the developer or the construction company, and we'll give it a shot.
Give you a prime example. Over at Orchard, they took down a tree that the first limb was going over top of my garage. This was bidded on. Okay, the correct way of doing this would have been taking it down piece by piece with a bucket truck, but that was a little bit more costly. They get this guy in there, and he levels this tree whole. I says to him, I said, supposing something happens here, that this tree goes over on my garage. He said, the hell, let the insurance company worry about it. Now, that's a great attitude, isn't it? It's not his garage being tore up.
No. Well,
let the insurance companies worry about it. Now, how would you feel?
I wouldn't feel very good.
Yeah. And now, within 20 feet, John says it's 30 feet. We'll take a tape measure, we'll measure it. They're going to blast the wall right off from that place.
It sounds like if they're within that certain distance, and we need to look at that they can't blast if they exceed that distance. So that might be one they might have to chip around or something. I'll have to watch that and see what's up with that deal.
Common sense goes a long ways, guys.
I agree.
You know, when I went on my little well survey about splasting, I talked to a lot of people down through there. And, you know, I don't think there was one of them that didn't have something to say other than what I was there for, about what a crummy deal that was going on, but they didn't want to cause a bunch of stuff. You know, they didn't want to call you guys up. But, you know, you guys could just open your eyes. I mean, you just, it makes people mad, just quite frankly, you know. It makes people mad when you go and just tear up jack and don't put stuff back.
Exactly. Exactly right now, sir. Uncalled for.
And backfilling them holes.
Mm-hmm.
No barricades.
Yeah.
Holes at 4 or 5 feet deep.
The whole thing.
And no barricades.
The way some of these were laid out.
152 Rogers Road was left open.
You did work there.
Right there. Warner Williams and Rogers was left open. No barricades.
Some of the excavation that were left open with no barricades around them, just the safety issue and stuff like that.
At the end of each day, we couldn't really make them plate it, or they...
It was inside my fence that they reached over and dug the hole from the road, jumping over back and over the fence. But I got 3 kids. Mm-hmm.
In the backyard daily. It was like that for 2 weeks.
My
some
home.
Damsels that could fall down in a
crash.
Did they fill those up there? Kathy was saying between there and the scenic view, they had big holes.
Oh, there's still one big hole there.
They were just full of water.
Yeah, there's still one big hole there where they put in a manhole.
Yeah.
No, there's a great big hole there, yeah. 3/4 full of water.
I hold my power wash every year. Power wash.
Well, outside
this
of
way.
Our property.
You never realize anything happened.
I guess Eastman. But
what's the sense of running a dump truck, one right after another, every
stain.
Day, and stockpiling the stone down there?
No,
my group has all been at least
supposed to do some landscaping afterwards.
Never. Never once.
Good luck. It's going to have to be my satisfaction.
You're really tired of this.
Yeah.
And I don't get
you don't respect other people's property. That's sad.
Yeah. I agree.
We're working on it all.
I hope so.
Promise anything, but sometimes, like John said, there's other ways. We try.
I wish it would never took place. I wish it would never took place. No, I was totally for this project. Now,
I thought I was too.
No,
I wasn't. My subject had 4th grade.
Yeah. No, I'm totally against
you're lucky it. One. You know, I'm glad it is. Yeah.
But I realize there's some that.
Our tanks was just
65-gallon
drums. The septic tanks, but the number of the wells down there, so you have problems with, you know.
Well, what is going to happen? I mean, my well's been there for 45 years.
I'd bring
you guys coming.
Yeah, I'd come up and get a sample bottle. Let's do a sample on it, have a record of it, see what you know the situation is, and we can sample it along and. You know, make samples you want to bring up and just kind of keep a tab on it and see what happens. And,
since this started.
If you notice a lot of sediment or something like that, you know, let us know. We'll keep track of it and see if it settles down. Then Mike Cole, our lab technician down here, what we've been seeing, I know your situation's a contract deal, but in wells not even in this area, with due to all the heavy rainfall, the water coming through the rock and coming down into the aquifers and stirring the aquifers up. If you have a shallow well, there might be some sediment now just because the aquifers stirred up. But
I live on top of the hill. They're blasting right down here. Mm-hmm. My well's not very good. And that's what my concern is.
Thanks for coming to Walt, Will.
I mean, it's...
Thanks for returning my phone call 3 weeks ago.
That's just my concern.
Come in and get a sample bottle Monday down here at our office. You know where Archer Engineer's office is?
Yeah.
We're right around the corner there. It used to be the jail annex, and the county commission since redone the building. That's where our offices are now. And we'll get you a sample bottle and get you fixed up. And we do them Monday through Thursday because it takes 24 hours to run the test. So we do them Monday through Thursday. And bring one up, we'll check it out for you and stuff. If you notice anything different about your water pressure, or if you notice anything different about, you know, since you are on a well, sediments in your water, you know, let us know.
Everybody down here, except for right there at the beginning of Y, is on well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're on a community well. I think, what is it, 33?
I think 33 is what the lady that I was talking to, Tangy.
Huh?
Tangy.
Tangy's the one that's got the dog grooming now?
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's a 33. It was either 32
or
33.
Yeah, she mentioned 33 in her email. 33 people are on that well.
Uh-huh. And I'm at the end of it.
Okay.
And I'm at the end of it.
You bet. Thank you.
I'm at the end of it.
Yeah. You're at the end of the
line. Okay. Because I asked Gene yesterday when he was up there. I said something to him. I said, does this line go on? Because there's another lot, you know. And he said, no. He said,